In just a moment, Generations with Kevin Swanson. But first, this. The World View in 5 minutes.
It's Monday, April 24th, AD 2017. This is The World View in 5 minutes. I'm Adam McManus. A Pakistani Christian mother, Fuzia Bibi, has finally gained her freedom from Mohammed Nazer, the man who abducted and abused her over 2 years ago and forced her into an Islamic marriage. The British Pakistani Christian Association reported that Bibi obtained an official separation from Nazer after a Pakistani court heard her case last month. Praise God for her deliverance. Psalm 103, 6 and 13 says, "The Lord works righteousness and justice for all who are oppressed. As a father shows compassion to his children, so the Lord shows compassion to those who fear him." France could face its own Frexit in the future after far-right leader Marine Le Pen, who wants to expel 10,500 terrorist suspects from the country, and independent centrist Emmanuel Macron beat the two main parties to go head-to-head in the upcoming presidential election, reports the Daily Mail. Around 40 million votes have been tallied so far. France's Interior Ministry says Macron is currently in the lead with 23.54%, followed by Le Pen with 22.33%. But it is thought that Le Pen's chances of winning are limited as supporters for Republican candidate François Fillon, who conceded but has gained 19% of the vote so far, will support Macron. As they look to the May 7th runoff, Macron urged hope in Europe instead of fear, a reference to Le Pen's anti-European Union campaign. In an interview with Dana Bash on CNN Sunday morning, Democrat Senator Dick Durbin of Illinois said that anyone can be a Democrat so long as they support the murder of babies in the womb.
I want to ask you before we go, as a Democratic leader, about some party politics. A debate broke out in your party this week when Bernie Sanders endorsed a candidate with a pro-life voting record for mayor of Omaha, Nebraska. Elise Hoge, who's the president of NARAL, Pro-Choice America, called the endorsement a betrayal of women. Where do you come down on this debate? Are you with NARAL or Senator Sanders?
Listen, I am committed to women's rights under the law, reproductive rights, certainly, and our party is. We've made that part of our platform and position for a long, long time. I know within the ranks of the Democratic Party there are those who see that differently on a personal basis, but when it comes to the policy position, I think we need to be clear and unequivocal. We need to be understanding of those who take a different position because of personal conscience, but as long as they are prepared to back the law, Roe versus Wade, prepared to back women's rights as we define them under the law, then I think they can be part of the party.
Senator Dick Durbin, thank you so much for joining me this morning.
Last week, the Iowa House and Senate passed a pro-life bill, denying state family planning funds to organizations which murder the unborn, according to LifeSite News. The bill redirects $400,000 from 12 Planned Parenthood abortion mills to other community health facilities. Kentucky Governor Matt Bevin declared 2017 the year of the Bible. In line with that, Bevin signed a bill into law this month directing the Kentucky Department of Education to make policies allowing public schools in the state to offer Bible courses. Last month, Bevin signed a measure stating that students may express religious and political views in public schools and on college campuses without interference from school management, reported Kentucky Today. The Office of BGLTQ Student Life at Harvard University, if you can keep up with the alphabet soup of sexual deviancy, released a new guide for students instructing them to, quote, fight transphobia, unquote, reported Campus Reform. The school-sponsored flyer claims, quote, there are more than two sexes, unquote, and that, quote, gender is fluid and changing, unquote, even varying, quote, from day to day, unquote. Wrong! The Lord Jesus Christ declares, from the beginning of the creation, God made them male and female. Mark 10:6. San Francisco experienced a major power outage last Friday, with nearly 90,000 people losing power after a circuit breaker failed at a substation, reported CNN. The outage also caused chaos for traffic and transit systems. Another power failure on Friday affected a New York City subway station, backing up trains all over the city. Over 8,000 U.S. retail stores are expected to close this year, the largest number in the last decade, reported the Wall Street Journal. Smaller retailers like BB and American Apparel are in the process of closing all their stores. Larger stores like JCPenney, Payless Shoe Source, Sears, and Macy's are having to scale back to a certain extent as e-commerce centers such as Amazon are on the rise. Sermon content is what appeals to most American churchgoers, not the church band or choir, according to a recent poll by Gallup. The survey found that 3 in 4 people said the sermon, both to learn about Scripture and to connect religion to their own lives, was a, quote, major factor, unquote, for why they attended. Jesus said, "If you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." John 8:31-32. And that's the World View in 5 minutes on this Monday, April 24th, in the year of our Lord, 2017. Invite your friends to listen to this unique Christian newscast at theworldview.com. I'm Adam McManus. Seize the day for Jesus Christ. Finding it tough to spend quality time with your son? Come to the Father-Son Retreat this summer, Thursday, August 31st through Sunday, September 3rd, and experience the blessing of 4 days of solid teaching and mountain activities at one of America's most beautiful and exciting mountain lodges near Winter Park, Colorado. Register at ColoradoFatherSon.com. That's ColoradoFatherSon.com.
Welcome, my friends, to the Generations Radio broadcast. Kevin Swanson, your host, with you today, broadcasting from my basement, Appalachian Plains, Colorado, as we continue to chronicle the slow and steady decline of Western civilization and fight for faith, family, and freedom for our children and for our grandchildren. And friends, yeah, we're against the wall here, and the enemy sometimes has somewhat overwhelmed us, but God breaks down the Christian group sometimes to that minority, that Gideon's 300, and that's all right, because he always shows his strength and his power in bringing the kingdom back again and again. So today we're going to talk a little bit about politics and the military and what's happened over the last 15 to 20 years in the United States military, and certainly the trajectory has been towards more incorporation of the homosexual group into the military, and less and less of a Christian impact in that aspect of American society. And the reason this is important is because the military oftentimes represents something of the more conservative element of a republic, of an empire. So as the military goes, so the nation goes. And if we see the conservative element of the society moving in the wrong direction, certainly we will see more and more of a disintegration of the nation itself. And so that's why from time to time we want to come back to the military and get a sense, a temperature for how things are going in the military. Today with me is Dr. Gordon Klingenschmidt. He is has been a Navy chaplain, and he was court-martialed on the issue of praying in Jesus' name. And this, my friends, was a significant battle that was waged over the last 15 years or so. So here he is in studio with me. We call him Dr. Chaps. Good to have you with us this morning.
Kevin, I'm so honored to be in your underground bunker in an undisclosed location. I think I'm actually inside a gun safe in your basement.
Yes, you are. Believe it or not, yes, this is the this is the inner sanctum of the Generations organization. As it turns out, you know, we bought this property some 7-8 years ago, and God in His providence had provided us a ready-made studio. It was amazing.
I love it.
Yeah, it's sort of underground.
It's nuclear safe with 8-inch walls. And I started my career after I graduated the Air Force Academy as a nuclear missile launch officer in Minot, North Dakota.
Okay, and so you're familiar with these operations.
I spent 200 alerts underground in a bunker just like this, except we had launch keys, and if we turned the keys, we could blow up the world.
Okay.
Thankfully, well, I never had to do that.
We have no access to those keys, thankfully, but we do know who does.
Yes.
Yes. You know, Jesus is in charge.
Jesus is in charge.
That's right. We're thankful for that. But, yeah, we're thankful for the studio. It was ready-made for us with the carpeted walls and all the rest that enabled a little higher quality recording for our program. So we're thankful. Well, Gordon Klingenschmidt has been a Navy chaplain, and you got in trouble for praying in Jesus' name. That was sort of shocking to me that there was a policy in place, evidently in the Navy, other branches as well, that you could not pray in Jesus' name.
Air Force also, but here's a little of the background, right? After 11 years as an Air Force officer, I was promoted to major. They wouldn't let me be a chaplain. So I took a demotion and a pay cut, and I switched to the Navy so I could be a chaplain.
Oh, okay.
And they sent me to sea. They put me on a cruiser, USS Anzio. We launched Tomahawk missiles into Baghdad, Iraq. Here I am, a combat chaplain in the Persian Gulf. And, you know, I had an award-winning career. When we came back to Norfolk, I took my sailors every Friday. We fed the homeless, and my sailors won 6 awards, including Best in the Navy for Community Service. Wow. So we had an award-winning career. At this point, the Navy, I suppose there was a controversy in 2006. And I had been a chaplain at this point for 3 years, going on about 5 years by the time I got out. But the Navy wrote a bad policy, SECNAV Instruction 1730.7C. And this new policy in 2006, under the Bush administration, mind you.
Okay.
But it was signed by the Secretary of the Navy, Donald C. Winter, who had only been in his job for about 6 months. And he was fooled by the bureaucrats in the Pentagon. They put this piece of paper in front of his desk, and he signed it. And it empowered commanders to punish chaplains if they prayed in Jesus' name outside of church.
So it
rewrote the interpretation of the law, which, you know, since 1860s, President Abraham Lincoln signed the first authorizations allowing chaplains to pray in Jesus' name. Why would he do that in 1860? Mm-hmm. Because that's the first year that 3 Jewish chaplains joined the army, and they were authorized to not pray in Jesus' name. So every chaplain should be authorized to pray as their church or synagogue wants them to pray.
In or out of the chapel.
Inside the chapel, outside of the chapel. If a chaplain is hired to pray at a ceremony Monday through Saturday, or on Sunday worship services, or Saturday if you're Jewish, or even Friday if you're Muslim, you should be allowed to pray according to your civilian bishop's faith and not the government's religion, because there is no government religion. We have freedom of religion. The First Amendment obviously protects every diverse expression of religion, including if you pray in Jesus' name or choose not to.
Mm-hmm.
So that was the law since 1860. But in 2006, they reinterpreted that law, and they said that public worship is no longer safe unless it's inside of a Sunday morning chapel.
So now you have a separation of the sacred and the secular. And so you aren't able to express your faith as a Navy chaplain outside of the context of that church or that chapel.
Bingo.
And that, for you, was unacceptable.
Yeah. I mean, it was totally unacceptable. I'm ordained by my civilian church. I happen to be a Pentecostal minister.
Uh-huh.
I pray in Jesus' name. So I took a stand against this policy. Did you know, Kevin, there are 65 other chaplains who are suing the Navy? They're all Baptist or Pentecostal, and they cannot get promoted if they pray and preach in Jesus' name. So evangelicals were being discriminated against.
Okay.
They had already filed a class action lawsuit. And at the time, my commander, James Carr, who happened to be a Navy captain on the ship, USS Anzio, he literally punished me in writing for quoting the Bible in church.
Huh.
But it was a Saturday worship service. It wasn't a Sunday morning worship service. So here I had the documentation. They punished me for my sermons. You know, if you think if you walk into a chapel optional attendance on a Saturday, you might expect to hear the chaplain quote the Bible from the pulpit.
I would hope so.
Well, no, my commander didn't like my sermon, so he punished me with a downgraded evaluation, told the Navy board don't renew this guy's contract because Klingenschmitt overemphasized his own faith system in his sermons and in his prayers. Literally punished me for praying in Jesus' name. So I read this new policy, 1730.7c. I said, if they're going to authorize commanders to punish chaplains if they pray in Jesus' name, I want to be the first.
Okay.
I volunteer.
Okay. And you actually pressed the court-martial, didn't you?
I demanded it. In fact, yeah. I caused it.
Okay.
I called my friend from Alabama, Judge Roy Moore.
Oh, yes.
The Ten Commandments Judge.
Uh-huh, right.
And he flew up to Washington, and he stood with me outside of the White House on a Thursday morning, and I wore my full Navy uniform, and I prayed in Jesus' name on national television. And it was not inside of a Sunday chapel, and so I broke the policy.
Okay.
So I came back to work. And the Navy brass, God bless them, they offered to punish me quietly with a piece of paper in my record.
Uh-huh.
I said, no, I demand a trial.
Uh-huh.
They said, but it's like a misdemeanor. It's a speeding ticket. It's a slap on the wrist. You can keep your career. You can retire with a full pension. I said, no, I demand a court-martial.
So you effectively threw your life over a hand grenade on this one?
Yes. Or fell on my sword, whatever metaphor you want to come up with. But
sure.
I demanded a court-martial, which was my legal right for this misdemeanor crime of violating the policy. And God bless the Navy brass, they granted my request.
Okay.
So it went to a trial. It's like that movie with Tom Cruise and Jack Nicholson. You can't handle the truth. So there's a judge and a jury and a prosecutor, and I'm on defense for my faith in the Navy courtroom.
Yes.
And this is September of 2006. And I hired a lawyer, but I did not present any defense. My entire defense was basically, I broke the policy.
Uh-huh.
Go ahead and punish me.
Uh-huh.
And just as Jesus never raised a voice in his own defense, I followed his model. And the Navy judge was interesting. Lewis Booker, Navy 05 commander, he enforced the new policy just as I expected. And he wrote in his opinion that the definition of public worship was now changed by this new policy.
Okay.
Now get this. Public worship, he wrote, is protected by federal law. But public worship is now defined by this policy as only safe inside of a Sunday chapel. That since Lieutenant Klingenschmitt prayed on a Thursday morning outside of the White House, he was not engaged in public worship. Instead, he was worshiping in public.
It's pretty rough. It's pretty rough. Jesus said, "Where two or three are gathered together, I'm in the midst." And
right,
you know, and of course, in the Christian heritage, Christians have worshipped in catacombs, up in mountains and forests, and all sorts of public places, and they have been persecuted for it,
right,
over a period of thousands of years. So this is not unusual to be persecuted for worshiping in strange places. Over the history of the Christian church.
Well, he wrote that public worship is safe, but worshiping in public is not safe, can be punished as a misdemeanor crime, guilty of worshiping in public in your uniform outside of chapel, guilty of breaking this new policy and disobeying supposedly lawful orders based entirely on this new policy.
And you said it is better to obey God rather than men.
You know, I read Acts chapter 4, and you remember when Peter and John were hauled in front of the Pharisees?
Oh, yes.
They were ordered, you must not preach or teach or anything at all in Jesus' name.
That's right.
But they said, who are you, Pharisees? Should we obey men or should we obey God?
And that was precisely the position you took at this court-martial.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And I obeyed God, and I disobeyed men, and I was found guilty in a federal court of a misdemeanor crime of worshiping in public in my Navy uniform as a chaplain. Tears of joy came to my eyes because I was finally found worthy to share and suffering for the name
of
Jesus.
Amen. There's not many instances in which that happens in America. Praise God we actually have somebody who's been persecuted in America. I think we found somebody, and he's sitting right here in the bunker in our basement.
Well, then a miracle happened.
Yeah, and tell us about what happened with Congress.
Well, yeah, see, the good news is that after my minor crucifixion came a wonderful resurrection. Because my story, as I expected, was published in 500 newspapers nationwide in that 1 week. I was doing national radio every day. All the major talk shows, CNN, Fox News, Hannity and Combs, Tucker Carlson, MSNBC, the 700 Club three times. The liberal media told the world about the chaplain who was being punished for his faith. And it was great.
That's something. Well, how do you explain that?
Well, I drew a little attention for publicity's sake, so that I could awaken the American people. My undergrad is in political science, and I know if you're a whistleblower, you can get on the newspapers and you can get the people to start making phone calls to Congress. 300,000 Americans petitioned Congress with me.
Wow.
And
that's incredible.
It was a revival. There was a nationwide revival. America stood up for Jesus,
mm-hmm.
and I went up to the halls of Congress. The week after my court-martial, I met with the chief of staff for the top senator over the Pentagon, Senator John Warner, showed the chief of staff all the documents, how they punished me for this policy, and the next day, Senator Warner made a speech on the floor of the United States Senate. He said, "I, John Warner, am being besieged by bloggers, emails, phone calls, faxes. Everyone in America wants to let chaplains pray in Jesus' name." So by order of Congress, we are ordering the Navy to reverse this bad policy. He named the policy in his speech, 1730.7C, the same policy that the judge had enforced against me.
Wow.
By order of Congress, the Navy, 1 month later, I think this is November of 2006, the Secretary of the Navy repented, he rescinded his own bad policy, and we won. Now all the chaplains are free again to pray in Jesus' name. Even in public, even in uniform, 7 days a week.
The chaps, what happened to you then after this? Were you reinstated?
Well, that was a great victory for other chaplains,
uh-huh.
but God bless the Navy lawyers. They never grandfathered that victory back to my case.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And so 4 months later, in March of 07, I was honorably discharged, but involuntarily so.
Okay.
And I lost a 16-year career as an officer. I lost $1 million pension.
Mm-hmm.
My wife and I were evicted from our home on the Navy base. People ask me, "Chaps, that's a great price, but was it worth it? Would you do it all over again?" And what do you think I say?
Absolutely.
Yes.
Absolutely. Yeah, you've made a significant move for many other chaplains and perhaps salvaged something of a religious freedom for chaplains for additional maybe decade or two or three, who knows.
And I kept my soul. You know, Jesus says, "What does it profit a man to gain the whole world but to lose his own soul?" And I did not compromise. I did not water down my faith. I never denied Christ when ordered by the United States government. And hopefully someday there may be a reward for me in the next life.
And you attempted an appeal to the Supreme Court on this, didn't you?
I did. Over the next, over the following 10 years, in fact, it was just finally resolved against me, unfortunately. But there was about 4 years ago, a brand new Obama judge who happened to be openly lesbian, Elaine Kaplan,
okay.
ruled against me and said that, no, the Navy has power to punish chaplains, even for quoting the Bible in church. And so I appealed that to the Supreme Court, and last year they decided not to take my case. They only take 1% of all cases presented. But it was a long shot. But I did finally exhaust my options, and I just gone on with other things in my life. Fortunately, what the devil intended for evil, God planned for good.
Yes.
And this began perhaps a political career in my life. I became a national activist.
Mm-hmm.
And I now host a national TV show,
yes.
Pray in Jesus' Name News. Mm-hmm. We air on the NRB network. I've also helped send now 5 million petitions to Congress. We have 25,000 subscribers to my daily email list. If you visit PrayInJesusName.org. You can visit our website, PrayInJesusName.org. Sign up for our email list. And we now have changed bad laws or policies in 13 states, twice in the NDAA, in the federal legislation. We've helped restore religious freedom for all other military members, not just chaplains. And with all of those victories, I decided to run for public office. And I won.
Yes, and we want to talk about some of that, too. We'll be back in just a moment, friends, with a little bit more on the future of the American military. Where is the military now, and where is it heading? We're going to get some input from Dr. Chaps in just a moment on the Generations broadcast. Stay tuned. Folks, under Obamacare, the average family health care premiums now have exceeded $18,000, and more premium increases averaging 25% are expected for next year in 39 states. And remember, over 1,000 Obamacare plans cover abortion, and that's most of them. 5 states offer no abortion-free plans at all. And you know that all Obamacare plans contain the contraceptive abort-efficient mandate. So what do Christians do? Well, I'll tell you what we have done. My family has gone with the Samaritan Medical Sharing Ministry since 1999. Over 17 years, we have shared our medical needs with brothers and sisters in Christ, and they have shared theirs with us. And the cost? Well, it's about one-third of what the average family pays under Obamacare. And Samaritan Ministries does not support the killing of unborn children. Our family has saved over $200,000 in insurance premiums over the last 17 years, and we have helped literally hundreds of Christian brothers and sisters with their medical needs. We write checks every month to different families who have needs to cover. How cool is that? On top of all of that, we can support the lives of unborn children while the powerful systems in Washington are doing just the opposite. I want to encourage you to check out Samaritan Ministries as an option for your family. Imagine healthcare sharing in a Christian way, protecting life as Christians do at one-third the cost. Just check it out at SamaritanMinistries.org and mention Kevin Swanson when you sign up, and we'll send you a free copy of my new book, Family Life. That's SamaritanMinistries.org. And we're back on the Generations broadcast. Kevin Swanson here with you, and Chaplain Gordon Klingenschmidt is in studio with us now, Dr. Chaps. And we're just updating ourselves a little bit, Dr. Chaps, on what's happening with the military. You have served in the military. You've also served in the Colorado State House. You are interested in national politics as well as statewide politics. Tell us a little bit about what's going on with the Pentagon in relation to the issue of homosexuality, because things have been going in a bad direction for a while, especially during the administration of President Barack Obama.
Well, yes. If you remember, after I left the military in 2007, Mary and I moved back here to Colorado. I ran for elected office. I served in the Colorado legislature for a couple of years here as a state representative. And I've been fighting these issues locally, but also nationally. With our national ministry, we've sent 5 million petitions to Congress. And after Barack Obama was elected at the end of 2008, he was sworn in early 2009. And there was a shift in 2010 because people no longer appreciated what Obama had done. And so you remember the House of Representatives changed hands in 2010. There was a great Republican revolution.
Okay.
And I was involved in that. We faxed voter guides to about 80,000 pastors nationwide before the 2010 elections. We ended up firing about 45 Democrats from the Congress who were anti-Jesus, pro-homosexual Democrats. And we fired Nancy Pelosi as the sitting Speaker of the House. John Boehner was about to be sworn in, but when she was a lame duck speaker, Nancy Pelosi pulled a fast one, and she rescinded Don't Ask, Don't Tell as the national policy that forbade homosexual service in the military.
Is there any possibility of reversing that, do you think, under Trump? Thoughts on that?
Well, legally, yes, but politically, no, and I'll tell you why. When they reversed and rescinded the Bill Clinton policy of 1996, don't ask, don't tell, what they did was they didn't pass any positive law in its place. So right now there actually is no law allowing or forbidding homosexual service in the military. So in the absence of law, it's really up to the commander-in-chief to decide. And now that, you know, Donald Trump is president, he could sign a piece of paper tomorrow. He could sign an executive order to the Pentagon. And there will be nothing in law prohibiting him from stopping homosexual service in the military. That's the legal point of view. But politically, it's very hard for him to do that, because politically, he would have to exert all of his political capital instead of focusing on repealing Obamacare or cutting taxes or his foreign policy, immigration, things that he campaigned to do. He would basically shoot his wad to blow the chance and expend all of his political capital fighting against the homosexual agenda in the Pentagon. I don't think he's willing to do that.
What do you think about Obama's transgender cross-dressing orders, the reassignment surgery stuff in the military? Do you think that Trump might want to reverse that? I know there's been something of a controversy relating to this in the military. What do you think?
Well, you're right. Although homosexual service was allowed after 2010, it wasn't transgender service being allowed in the military, in fact, until this coming summer. Because about 6 months before he left office, President Barack Obama, against the advice of his generals, had his Secretary of Defense, Ash Carter, at the time, sign this new policy allowing transgender cross-dressing men to pretend to be women and wear women's uniforms and serve openly in the military. So that they set the policy up 6 months before Obama left office, but it was not set to engage until 6 months after President Trump was sworn into office. So this summer, we're going to see the first transgender recruits, men pretending to be women and wearing women's uniforms. It's like
outrageous.
Well, who's the guy in MASH? Corporal Klinger.
Oh, yeah.
We all remember Corporal Klinger, who was trying to get a Section 8 discharge because he was mentally insane, and so he would wear women's clothing to try and get thrown out of the military. Well, now he can't get thrown out of the military. He would be allowed to serve. Politically, again, all it takes is one stroke of the pen, not even from President Trump, just from any senior advisor in the Pentagon who's willing to put their name on a piece of paper saying, we're going to swipe away that policy. No, transgender service is not going forward, and that could easily be done. And I think politically we have the will to do it.
It seems like President Trump is doing just the opposite, though, with Kristen Goodwin. She's a colonel who's just been nominated to the rank of brigadier general at the Air Force Academy and is set to become the next commandant for the Air Force Academy, and she's a lesbian. So it seems to me that he's not considering this issue to be really that significant and important for him.
Well, to appoint an open lesbian as commandant of the Air Force Academy, where I graduated in 1991, I was married in the cadet chapel, and incidentally, they're closing the cadet chapel for 4 years because of, they say it's because of weather and renovations, and they've got to, you know, seal the cracks so they stop the water from leaking into the chapel. But is there any coincidence that the 4 years you have a lesbian commandant is the 4 years that Protestant cadets and Catholic cadets will not be able to worship in the chapel? It seems to me too big a story there. But to have an open lesbian appointed, not by Donald Trump, but by bureaucrats who are remaining in the Pentagon that were appointed by President Obama.
Mm-hmm.
I'm talking particularly about the Office of Undersecretary of Defense for Personnel, and that is a presidential appointment that has not yet been filled by Donald Trump. So you have a leftover Obama bureaucrat who is now making these decisions in conjunction with the superintendent of the Air Force Academy, the three-star and the OUSD for personnel, have now made this decision without informing President Trump, and they got to get this confirmed by the Senate. So I'm urging people to call their senators and say, do not confirm Kristen Goodwin as commandant of the Air Force Academy. If the Senate refuses to confirm her, she will not be confirmed, and she will not be the commandant of the Air Force Academy.
So it has to be confirmed by the U.S. Senate on this.
Yes.
Okay. All right. Well, ladies and gentlemen, that's an update on what's going on with the Air Force and with the military. Some good news and perhaps some bad news at points. Overall, what's your take on what's happening with the military in America?
Religious freedom is a struggle, and thankfully we've had some victories. We've gotten good laws passed by Congress, but under the Trump administration, we need to be wary and watchful, and we need to fight and advocate and petition and call your senators, make sure there is oversight, especially over the Pentagon, or they will continue to homosexualize the military and persecute Christian chaplains and Christian soldiers, sailors, airmen, and Marines who dare to express their opinion against the sin of the day.
And this is really the last bulwark for conservatism or maintaining anything of a structure of a nation, friends. Remember, if the foundations are destroyed, what do the righteous do? You undermine the foundations of a nation, you will break down the structures of those nations. And without any semblance of moral foundations, a nation just simply cannot survive. So So these are important issues if you happen to be an American in the 21st century, and it's important that we update ourselves on these things. Gordon Klingenschmidt, a Navy chaplain, now part of the Pray in Jesus Name ministry. And we appreciate you being with us today, Dr. Chaps. Thanks.
Thanks, Kevin. Our website is prayinjesusname.org. Sign up for our email alerts.
And you've been listening to the Generations broadcast. You can hear the program anytime, anywhere in the world at kevinswanson.com or generations.org. This is Kevin Swanson inviting you back again next time as we continue to lay down a vision for the next generation.